Blog Talk Radio.
Bienvenido, I'm Beata, your host for Health and Well-Being with Beata. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. We have an absolutely marvelous show today. My guest has so much, oh my goodness, experience and knowledge that is so harmonious with what I do. And you're going to be surprised at her hip-hop experience and knowledge, too. So that's why I'm excited to have her come on. She'll be here at the end of the half hour, about 8:30 this morning. In the meantime, we're in the Blog Talk Radio studio. So let's welcome our global family. We do have a global family in the Female Solutions platform. So I want to welcome them this morning and welcome you as well. So we have a beautiful video for you.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, little button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Whatever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa Sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
Yes, yes, yes. That is why I am here. I want to talk to you. I want to share my experience, my education, and my knowledge with you. And my guest, oh boy, she has so much experience that you've never heard of. A white chick in Europe listening to hip-hop. Oh my goodness. In Germany, I blew my mind when I found out this out about my guest. So you're going to love her. You're just going to love her. And she's a doctor of natural medicine. Couldn't have a better guest at this season where Diddy, Diddy, Diddy is in the news everywhere. We're going to talk a lot about the healing power of hip-hop, the truth about hip-hop, so much about hip-hop that you're going to love hip-hop at some point maybe. But we're also going to talk about microbiome because that's where she is becoming an expert in that field. And if you've been watching this show, you know I talk about the microbiome all the time. We're going to hear from someone else who loves to talk about the microbiome. So I'm so excited. She'll be on shortly. But for now, I know why you're here. This, I want to just share this beautiful plant with you. This, I hope you can smell it. This is a jasmine. Oh, my goodness. And it just happens my granddaughter's name is Jasmine. But the little story behind this, in my neighborhood, there's a street called New Orleans. I live on Natchez Trace, which is another southern name for Mississippi, I believe. But on New Orleans, there's a huge jasmine bush. I wouldn't even call it a vine. It's a bush. And every time I go by, oh, not only do I pause when I walk through the neighborhood, I pause and smell the jasmine. Oh, my goodness. And jasmine essential oil is very expensive. I mean, I have a little bitty bottle because I use it in a formula. And it is pricey, but I love it, and it brings my frequency up. Woo! So this is one of the many things you can do to raise your frequency. Smell the flowers. Inhale the fragrance of jasmine, whether it's real time or not. Woo! And so I leave it here until it turns brown, and I go pick them up some more. And I've been enjoying magnolia. I have a magnolia tree in my yard. Oh, that's another fragrance that it just, woo-wee, takes you to a high level of frequency. And then, oh, you just feel at peace. So I am in such a high frequency these days. I'm in gratitude. Gratitude, again, is one of the higher emotions that you can carry and experience that will keep you healthy and strong. So I'm in gratitude for so many reasons. So many reasons. I can't even count them all, but gratitude. Try and find things to be grateful for. And I'm grateful to be here with you because I've been given a gift. I've been given a gift of knowledge, experience, and exercises to bring you to a higher level of health and to help you take charge of your health. We can no longer depend on the men and the and women in the white coats. You can't depend on them, except in an emergency. I love it. When people have an emergency, you're in a car wreck, you break your leg, something you cannot handle. We want to depend on the emergency physicians and nurses to do their job, and most of them do it very well. So clap, clap, applause to all the men and women working in the emergency room who are doing a great job helping people recover from their injuries and their stress. But today is all about you taking charge of your health and preventing emergencies. And one way is gratitude, gratitude. I have access to my son's car, and it's a newer car, it's a 2023 car. And every time I sit, before I even take off, I give thanks for protection, no harm, no damage to the car, protection for me. And then I take off and have a nice ride. That's how I ride. So I don't own a car, which for me is a blessing now. I don't own a car, but I have access to cars all around me. So I don't have a problem. I'm grateful, grateful, grateful. I don't have to pay insurance. I don't have to worry about gas, oil, any of that. I put gas in my son's car. Grateful, grateful, grateful. When I lost my car, I wanted to grieve and cry. But now I have access to a car. That's all I need. And I do a lot more bike riding, a lot more walking now because I don't have a car. So I get on my bike, ride to a mile and a half one way and back. Gratitude, gratitude is so, so important to be in and to express if you want to increase the frequency. Now, of course, my new thing is my clothing. I'm sewing 100% organic linen. This is 100% organic linen. And right now I have sewn 4 colors, gold, blue, red, and purple. And so this is right now, it's the pre-phase of actually offering it to others for sale, but I'm not there yet because I'm experimenting with different patterns. This is a round neck pattern. But the most important thing about this attire is the frequency, 5,000 megahertz, 5,000 hertz, megahertz, whatever. It's compared to organic cotton is a little over 100. So what I'm wearing is 5,000 vibration, hertz, frequency, whatever you want to call it, compared to polyester, which is at like 50. And the same, almost the same as a corpse. A dead person actually is vibrating, believe it or not, the skin and all that. Because it's decaying, the body is decaying, it's putting out a frequency. So it's about 50 or so. They've measured this. So a corpse is vibrating, sending out energy, frequency of about 50. And then polyester has the same vibration. What does that tell us? Oh, my goodness. We're covered in plastic, and we're vibrating like dead people. So I want to encourage you, inspire you, motivate you to get rid of all your polyester. I don't care if you're naked out there. Wear a bra. But get rid of the polyester and start with cotton. Cotton is the next best frequency, 100. If you can't get the 5,000 right now, I'll be offering it maybe later this year after I get all my fabric ordered and all that. But let's move up in the frequency because it's an election year and the psychopaths and the warmongers are busy, busy, busy trying to divide and conquer. Okay, so that's it for this introduction. I know why you're here. you want to roll those joints and get high. Let's roll some joints. Let's roll some, no, not this kind, but this kind. And if you're new to health and well-being with Theana, we roll joints for three major reasons. There's other reasons, but number one, it improves your circulation. When you're rolling your head around, your shoulders, your wrists, your elbows, your ankles, your knees, your thighs, your hip bone, your hip, your legs moving to get your hip, you're improving the blood flow in your body. And then secondly, you're boosting your immune system. Your immune system, you don't have to worry about hand sanitizers and all the viruses and bugs out there. And you just do your movements. Move your body. Keep gratitude. And your immune system will be strong and powerful. And keep the junk out your body. And then thirdly, your lymphatic system. It's just amazing when you study this human vessel, how this system works to keep us moving and growing and evolving and laughing and smiling and eating. And your lymphatic system is just one of those systems that's just divinely put together to help us get rid of all the stuff we don't need and dump it into the colon and the lymphatic system and move it out through the bowels. That's what it does. So that's why we do joint rolling. So thank you for joining me this morning. I'm just full of gratitude this morning about everything. I can't complain. I can't complain. I just can't complain. If you hear me complaining, I want you to press one and say, hey, stop that. Okay? So, and then put a comment in Facebook. We're on Facebook Live, Soul Purpose Healing, and we're on my YouTube channel, Viata's Tiny House Village, because this is where I live. I live in a tiny house village. This is 360 square feet of space that I'm in, but my first adventure that you have witnessed or viewed in my video, intro video, was only 160 square feet, and I lived there for 5 years. Glorious, wonderful connection to nature, cows and horses everywhere out in the country. And I met some really interesting people, had a lake down the hill. Oh, what an experience. So that's why I'm still doing the Viata's Tiny House Village, educating and sharing this amazing experience, downsizing, and living a very simple life, which is very peaceful and stressful. Great. That's what we want at my age. I'm actually less than a year from turning 70. Ah, when I think about it, I'm grateful. I can only be grateful. Less than a year of turning 70. I feel like I'm in my 20s again because I have so much energy and I've wised up to what it takes to have energy, first of all, and to have a beautiful, healthy body. So I hope this helps you and inspires you to do the same. Are you ready? Are you ready to do some joint rolling? We're going to roll some joints. And first of all, let's just, especially me, let's just take a deep breath in and out. Let's just breathe in to a count of, let's say, four. Breathe out to a count of four, three or four times. Breathe in, hold it, and breathe out. Now, you can exhale through your nose or mouth. I prefer my nose because my mouth gets too dry if I do it too much through my mouth. Inhale, hold it, and exhale. Inhale, hold it, and exhale. Inhale one more time. Inhale, and hold it, and exhale. How does that feel to you? We want you to continue that inhaling and exhaling as we roll these joints. Don't stop. And feel the difference. If you feel any pain, this show is not designed to bring pain. We're only here to help you take charge of your health. And in fact, give the disclaimer at this point because this show is not intended to replace any advice you may be receiving from your doctor, If you have a chronic or an acute health condition that you've been unable to resolve, please just see your health professional and spend time breathing in nature, and you can overcome it. Pain. Any pain that you feel, stop doing what the joint rolling. Stop and tap. Wherever the pain is, I'm learning so much about how to manage pain. And one way is just slap it. Wherever the pain is. I had some pain in my shoulder area, but I've been doing a lot of work on my arms lately. This. So I realized part of the pain was just muscle growth, all this muscle raising. I've had this great video that I work with. So the pain was partly muscle growth, but I just started slapping that area, and voila, no more pain. So it really works, and we've had a couple of listeners come on and say they tried it and it worked. So pain, slap, it means energy is stuck and inflammation is starting. When you have pain, that means inflammation, fire. So how do you put the fire out? Just slap. We're going to do some slapping at the end of our joint rolling. So let's get busy because I've got a guest coming on soon, and I don't want to delay at all with my guest because she has a lot to share. So let's do some music, Time for Healing by The Sounds of Blackness, and we start with the big head roll, all right? Let's put in the chest. The stress, his head weighs a lot. Look around, look, but we move through. Woohoo! Ooh, I feel this. Pull the mic around for those of you in the Blog Talk studio. Just keep rolling. Feels so much better. Up. Come back. This feeling starting to work back. Let's talk.
Time is running out.
How is your soul?
Oh. Keep it going. Rolling. Let's reverse it. Full leg ring. Feeling great. Good. All right. Let's come back. Love yourself by moving the body. Now let's rub those hands together. Heat them up. Place them behind your neck and squeeze and release. Whoa, that feels so good. Squeeze and release. What you're doing here is activating your vagus nerve. Your vagus nerve starts at the brain stem back there. And it runs all down your back, all down your spine to your colon. It communicates through your gut, where the microbiome lives. That's what my guest is going to share today, some powerful, powerful knowledge and wisdom about the microbiome. And we're just sending a message with the vagus nerve stimulation, and then we want to pat down those arms. Got to love the arms, too. Don't leave the arms out here. If you've got a poof, you don't want a poof. You want a pit. So that your lymphatic system is draining and flowing. So let's pat, and pat down the side, and let's do the other side. Don't leave out the other side. Let's keep everything flowing, and don't forget, here is your thymus gland. Give that a tap, because that's your immune system booster, and don't forget the breath. They love you. You love them. Squeeze. Gently massage, love to the nurturing, caring part of you. And then go down to the navel. Again, microbiome just needs a lot of energy, attention to work its best. It's your army. This is your army down here, and you want it to work perfectly because it's going to keep you alive. Yes, this microbiome. There's a phrase that says death begins in the colon. I never realized how important that statement is until I started studying the microbiome, because the health of your colon is where diseases start and pass through the blood. If you have a leaky gut, all the things that are going on in the colon are going to affect your whole body. Remember? And they say, trust your gut. It's a true statement. So, my guest is here. So I am going to move into my studio. You get to see my beautiful ceiling with all. Oh, look at those plants. They're just taking off all over the place. I'm so grateful. I got so much oxygen in here that I can only give thanks and praise and thanks. I tell you, I'm just full of gratitude today, so I might just fly out of here after the show. But let me bring on, my guest. Dr. Sherry, good morning, Grand Rising. How are you?
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
Let's see. Do you prefer Dr. Sherry, Rebecca, or how are we going to?
Yeah, just as you feel comfortable. Usually in the professional world, I'm called Dr. Sherry. My friends just call me Sherry.
Sherry. You know, I thought about your name, Rebecca. Have you ever been called Becky?
Occasionally, yes.
Okay,
but
we
rarely.
We don't. That name has gotten some bad energy lately, Becky. In fact, what's her name? She made a song, Becky with the good hair, or something about Jay-Z and all that. So, I thought about Rebecca. Oh, why? She probably doesn't want to be called Becky, but that's
not really, no. But I grew up in Germany, and that was the name. In school and university, they would call me Rebecca. Rebecca. They don't say like that. Rebecca, they would say it to me. But then I moved to France, and in France, Sherry was more like Sherry.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So didn't work either.
Yeah, really.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we just call you Dr. Sherry for today. And thank you so much for taking the time out. When we had our first conversation the other day, I'm like, this is a real busy woman with two children and a business and all that. But will you start out giving us a little history for our audience, your childhood, where you were born, where you grew up? And I noticed you speak, like, what, four languages?
Almost six.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you got to start out today giving our listeners a little bit about where you grew up, well, what your family life was like, and then how you grew up to be this fabulous goddess that you are now.
God, no, thank you. I mean, my childhood, I was actually born in Los Angeles when my dad was studying here, but my origin is from Iran, Persian. And after my dad finished his studies, they moved back to Iran, but couldn't stay there very long because that whole revolution 79 started. And we belonged to the Baha'i faith, followers of the Baha'i teachings, and that became severely persecuted in Iran at the time. So my parents had to flee Iran, and the place they found refuge was in Germany. So that's where I grew up since I was 8 until I was 26 when I got married.
Really?
Mhm. So my schooling, study, university, childhood was mostly in Germany.
Wow, wow. Yeah. I was shocked to hear that you were listening to hip-hop in Germany.
Especially in Germany, right?
I have to admit my ignorance. I thought only black people in America were listening to hip-hop. And then I met you, and I'm like, what? What? Global. So what that says to me is hip-hop has been global for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. And so the influence that it has, especially with you, is what I want to hear about, because I did not allow my children to listen to hip-hop in the house. And so I want to know how and why you started listening to hip-hop in Germany.
That's very funny, I know. And I was, in that case, I was the one odd out. I had two close friends of mine. We were like best buddies, trio. And they were also the very few. One of them was Turkish. She's Turkish. The other one was Persian. So, and we, the three of us, we loved dancing.
Oh.
So I think the music of hip-hop just is really has beautiful beats for dancing.
Yes.
And that was the main reason we loved it. And the other thing is that I would say my English wasn't maybe that good, or I was just ignoring the lyrics. I wouldn't understand so much of it. And so that wasn't important to me. And yet I was also intrigued by the history of hip-hop, where it started and how they lived, what they were fighting and things. And so I had a very high tolerance for their lyrics, even though now I wouldn't want to appreciate it. But I do believe in free expression in speech, unless it is really, truly harmful or it's hate speech. But even though a lot of the lyrics were, or still are sometimes, not appropriate, it shows what people have been living, what they want to express. And it's a dialogue in some way. And we cannot always pretend it doesn't exist, you know.
Well, I felt that with my son grew up with music. So I'm glad you shared that you loved the music more than anything. You didn't even understand the English, right? So, but the music, that beat, you just can't escape that beat and moving. And just the music does something, as you said, on a soul level.
Exactly.
That brought many people into that fold of hip hop and help them make a lot of money. Let's be honest. They a lot of men and now women are getting rich off the music. And the B word, the F word, to me was just too much. And so that's why I did not let my children listen to it. But they listen to it at their friends' houses and at school. And so they got it in anyway. So they knew who Tupac was, or at least maybe maybe. But all the rappers, who were your favorite rappers?
Well, as I said, Tupac was one of my favorites, and Snoop Dogg. And how you found out that I liked hip-hop was the issue about
Diddy.
Exactly.
The Sean Combs, whatever, yeah. Who are all
I
of them.
The East Coast and the West Coast, the old school. I was listening to all of them and following their stories. But to me, my favorite musician, which is not necessarily hip-hop, has always been Prince, because Prince is just encompasses it all. And he would sometimes be very inappropriate in his songs. I don't know why, but I think sometimes it's a sales thing, because just as media is being used with inappropriate things just to get attraction, and youth always wants attention. So we need to get to that level that our youth, our musicians, the media, the arts, understands that in order to be good, in order to attract, you don't have to have that inappropriate lyric in there, the inappropriate behaviors in there. It gets your attention, yes, and you might sell. But what are you contributing to society?
Right, right.
And that's what I would, tell the youth nowadays and everyone. And they don't have it easy nowadays.
Right, right. Well, just like the video I shared with you about prison ownership, a lot of the music producers own prisons. And I've known this for a while, but then seeing that video was kind of a confirmation. A lot of them, music producers, own the prisons. And they had a meeting somewhere with the hip-hop artist saying, listen, we need you to keep up the F word, the B word, and all the criminal words and messages so we can get more people in prison. Basically, that's what they were saying. It's like, woo! Why? Well, that just shows you the depth of evil in the producers themselves and that whole the administration over it and the authorities over it. Versus the artists, like you point out, there's a need for us to promote and encourage freedom in artistry. But there's also a need to break away from the perverted producers and owners. Because that's what we're seeing, I think, playing out with Diddy.
The sad thing is that even though the music came from those underprivileged hardship situations, it was pushed into it, even if it was able to come out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For example, the story of MC Hammer. Okay, he tried to be not going that low with his lyrics, with his message, and in the end he became a priest, you know, because he just didn't feel it's feeding his soul and his spirit. And he was simply pushed out, even though his music was great. That was awesome, and, you know, we all know that song.
Can't touch the doo-doo-doo. I was singing that last week. Can't touch the doo-doo-doo.
Oh, my God. He was so talented. His dance, his music, it was so amazing. But because you're black, because you want to go into the hip-hop scene, you have to use the F word. That wasn't necessary. That, you know. So I'm hoping that this generation will keep the talent, keep the music, keep the light, but also elevate people's souls and spirit instead of bringing them down, because that's not what we're created for.
Well, I'm introducing my grandchildren to poetry because I feel that's what hip-hop is basically doing, is singing poetry. They have written the words and they rhyme, especially this thing with Kendrick Lamar now going on and Drake. It's like I'm totally interested in that because I didn't even know, really listen to any of their music, but my son and my two sons listened to all of that. And I'm really trying to have a healthy relationship with my grown children. And now I want my grandchildren to hear the poetry. So we have had sessions at the breakfast table, dinner table about, okay, let me have you write some poetry. They're like resisting like crazy. I don't want to write poetry, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, but listen, and then what my son came up with, he had them write down the words of their favorite songs. And then we all sat around and talked about the lyrics. Because some of the lyrics weren't too great on one song or other. But I think, Dr. Sherry, that's where it may start with this next generation, is helping them start writing the poetry of consciousness. Not the unconscious lyrics that we heard back with Tupac and all that. But the music is always going to be there. But for those artists who are gifted with music, that's going to always be there. But I think the real challenge is for them to come up with poetry that inspires and heals. And when we came up with the title for this show, I know you said, well, I don't know about that title. But I really started thinking about how hip-hop can be very healing. And that's where we can kind of transition into our topic today, because when we talk about the microbiome and how powerful that is in the body and the healing, hip-hop is the same. The diversity of men and women who are now singing and rapping and creating music is almost the same as our microbiome. And we can talk about that because that's what I saw when you came onto the scene about Diddy. I started thinking about, well, is there a connection? And then I realized 3 years ago, this lady and I connected on Facebook because she talked about the microbiome. And I said, oh, I got to have her on the show. Oh, I got to connect to her. And she was very busy at the time. But here we are 3 years later, perfect timing, where hip-hop is coming into the scene and you have now this opportunity to share not only your hip-hop love, but your love for the body and healing and natural medicine. So we give thanks to the Creator for divine timing to bring us together to talk about a subject that needs to be healed, hip-hop, and to talk about microbiome in the body that also needs healing. So here we are. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, let's say then hip-hop is the passion of my past in my teens and 20s. And fast forward when I became a mother and kind of grew up, my daughter regressed into autism when she was like between 15 and 18 months old. And that completely changed my trajectory. And I became fascinated with the health and science, and figured out, I mean, not me figured out, but I dove more into the science of the biological comorbidities in autism and realized that a huge factor in the autism epidemic is our gut health, is the microbiome. So my new passion now is the science and the research, especially in connection to the microbiome and autism. But the microbiome is not only affecting us in terms of autism. It's like, as you said earlier, it is connected practically to most modern diseases we have. And as Hippocrates said, all diseases begin in the gut, and he was completely right. So that's how I got into this.
So I want to go back to your daughter's birth and your decisions to vaccinate, because it's because of mothers like you that I became interested in the vaccine movement. I met so many women, and I heard about so many women who had children who had were vaccinated, and they became autistic, they became disabled. I was like, whoa, what's going on? So it's women like you who brought the attention to me about this problem, this challenge. So I'm grateful for you sharing, because if you weren't sharing, I wouldn't be interested. I wouldn't be, along with Sherry, the woman who wrote the vaccine book. You've probably read all the books that some of these women have written. And that's where my interest I peaked, and I started studying about vaccines. So I'm totally against jabs of any kind. In fact, my youngest son, I got an exemption, a medical exemption for him when he was in grade school, because I was so passionate about it and so much that I learned. So what happened with you and your daughter? Well, she was your second child?
Yes.
Your second child. Did your first child get vaccinated too? But he didn't have the same results?
Well, this thing is, this issue with vaccines and autism is not very clear cut. We cannot say specific, in some cases maybe, but not, we cannot say autism is caused by vaccine. Otherwise, all children would have autism, because practically everybody gets vaccinated. But I want to clarify the connection between the immune system and autism. So autism is not a genetic disorder. It's a neuroimmune disorder, which you have a genetic predisposition, but it can be triggered by many factors. And one of the triggers can be vaccines, but it can also be other things. It can be natural infections, okay? But just to make it very simply to understand is that when a baby is born, they're practically sterile. They get exposed to microbes through the vagina of the mother if they're lucky enough to be born vaginally. If they're born C-section, that's already the first hit, okay, because they're more exposed to stress bacteria than lactobacillus than the mother's vagina.
Right. That's it.
And that's already very important. And see how much C-sections are just scheduled for convenience, you know. And then the lack of breastfeeding. I mean, mother's breast has what the baby needs and not that fake formula food. And then, so a baby from birth until age three is actively developing their microbiome, okay? And then, I mean, so many kids at that age get ear infections, repeated ear infections. And then they're bombarded with antibiotics, okay? Antibiotics already, again, disturb the microbiome, which, again, sets this imbalance that it's causing in the microbiome then, sets an inflammatory disease, the leaky gut, there's inflammation or inflammation there. And that inflammation causes a leaky blood-brain barrier, meaning the baby is not protected. So anything can insult the baby's nervous system, the brain. And that can be from a vaccine that goes straight into the bloodstream and then has access to the central nervous and the brain, or it can be a natural virus, bacteria, heavy metals, chemicals that are exposed, glyphosate. So our babies are really, really bombarded on unnatural things that they cannot fend off for now. So this is what happens to many kids that are on the spectrum.
Yeah, so now your daughter had, you said, like four shots.
Eight shots within 4 weeks.
And then did you start noticing a change in her behavior right after that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
She started crying a lot. She had that it's kind of encephalopathy. It's brain inflammation, you know.
Right.
She was crying, she was projectile vomiting, she was doing arching her back, and as a mother, you don't know. You think, okay, it's temporary, and you don't know what's happening. And then suddenly she started just focusing on patterns. For example, if I would show her an airplane, she would not look where I show her. I would call her name. I would yell her name. She would not respond. I mean, she was just gone, you know. So, yeah, slowly it was downfall from there until luckily also we started very early on fixing her gut again. And the more, because the main thing also that I noticed is that she started having diarrhea, explosive diarrhea over weeks and months. I mean, nothing could stay in there. And and the more she had diarrhea, the worse it was, the more autism symptoms she had. So when we started fixing the gut with specific diets and enzymes and adding nutrition into her, she got better and better. So
wow.
A lot of healing to do. It's a physical, medical condition that affects your brain.
And your first child, you didn't have the same challenges or complications?
Well, no, he is typical, but in hindsight, I could have done better with him too. So, but no, he is fine. That's what I'm saying, not everybody is the same. The other thing is I might have had, during my pregnancy with my second child, maternal inflammation. This is also highly connected to autism. It's a maternal inflammation during pregnancy. A lot of different things are tied to the autism epidemic. For example, even the overuse of Tylenol during pregnancy. Now there are lawsuits going on for that. So many, many different things are involved, but more and more research is being done to understand the most causative things. But vaccines are not the main causes. They're one major cause, but they're not the main cause.
Now, what is maternal inflammation?
Meaning during pregnancy, if I have an infection.
Okay. And did you take any antibiotics for that, or how did you treat your
infection? No, I didn't have any. I'm saying I might have had underlying.
Okay.
I don't know about, you know, I should start with that. But my daughter got a lot of antibiotics for an ear infection, and that also really messed up her microbiome at the time.
Oh, so she had antibiotics after she was born.
Yeah, lots of it, yeah. I think she was like 8 months old when she got ear infection, and she got for a long period of time the antibiotics, and after that right away came the multiple vaccines. So that's one contributor, not the cause. It's a contributor to her getting worse, much worse.
Well, yeah, so that, but the blessing in that is that you started training to gain more knowledge and wisdom and wisdom about her condition and then helping others. So, and then when you said maternal inflammation, it reminded me of emotions that the mother will carry during those 9 months that could also affect the baby. So I agree with you that the cause of autism is multifactor and that we have to look at the whole, the holistic root causes of every disease. For me, emotion is at the top, energy and motion. So would you say, just as in general, when you're in both of your pregnancies, what was your emotional state? Were you very happy and joyful, or did you have some stresses in there that you had to work on?
I think I was very relaxed in terms of my nutrition.
Okay.
And that's the thing. I was completely oblivious of nutrition.
Okay.
Whatever. And also exposures, chemical exposure, these things, I just turned to be the opposite all of a sudden because I didn't know the effects of toxins and nutrition that much. So I think that was one of the problems. But it isn't only the... Also, the pregnancy I was naive about, and I'm sure a lot of parents are saying, "Oh, I did this, I did that." But these are things that I can think of. I did. Well, for example, I would microwave her plastic bottle, probably with BPA, in the microwave, so to warm up her milk. You know, that already is a big thing, but we didn't know at the time. I know. So this is what I went into then. It's called non-functional medicine. I studied natural medicine, but my specialty is in the microbiome and functional medicine. And functional medicine is puts together the connections between neurology, nutrition, lifestyle, and environmental health, all of them together, which makes these a lot of our modern chronic diseases. And the good thing about it is all evidence-based mostly. It's like the bridge between holistic natural medicine and conventional medicine, because holistic and natural are all nutrition and lifestyle based, and conventional is more symptom and medication based. But at least it's more evidence based. Sometimes in natural medicine it can be more on anecdotal stories, but this one is bringing both together and seeing it in a holistic way.
Yes, hallelujah. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I have several things I wrote down I want to talk to you about. Vitamin B12, we're going to talk about that, because I heard a doctor say something about that B12 was a bacteria. I'm like, what? So things like that we want to talk about, as for, and the muscles, how to gain muscles, and gut-brain connection. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about that. As well as, I got a phone call last night from a woman who was on my show a few months ago. She's concerned that autism is on the rise. She's seeing a lot of women. She's talking to a lot of women who are very stressed because their children are going into the autism spectrum. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. And a lot more. So thank you, Dr. Sherry, for being here.
Okay. Have you ever wondered why some of the healthiest people still get sick? Or why the occurrence of learning disabilities like ADHD have drastically increased over the last 50 years? How is it that the cancer rate has gone from 1 in 8,000 back in the 19th century to 1 in 2 today? Isn't it odd that even though we are more focused on health than ever before, that there's still been an increase in diseases, disorders, illnesses, and other conditions that destroy your quality of life? What if we told you that the very things you're using in your home to avoid these health concerns are actually what's causing them? It is a decision maker in your home. You know how overwhelming it can be to keep your family safe. Today, we'd like to welcome you and simply provide you with some important information and shed some light on some health concerns you may not be aware of. Over the last 100 years, thousands of toxic chemicals have been introduced into society because of an excessive overstock of chemicals designed for warfare in the Second World War. Today, as the 2013 documentary, The Human Experiment, states, quote, 42 billion pounds of toxic chemicals enter into commerce every day. That amount would fill up 623,000 tanker trucks. And as we speak, there are over 80,000 fresh chemicals on the market in the U.S. Over the last half century, chemical usage has gone up by 2,000%. And it isn't until there are enough people hurt by these products that there are even questions raised. Does this sound familiar? On July 12, 2018, the well-known grocery store brand of talcum and baby powder company, Johnson & Johnson, was ordered to pay a $4.6 billion lawsuit. As it was said, they knowingly covered up asbestos in their products for over 40 years, and we have been trustingly using it on ourselves and our precious of all things, our newborn baby. As parents, we work hard to keep our family safe and healthy. We diligently try to choose the best brands at the grocery store for our families. After all, keeping a clean home is an important part of good health. But is it possible that cleaning your home is dangerous? 7.3 million American couples have trouble conceiving or carrying a pregnancy to term. This is a 49% increase since 1988. Recent studies have shown that babies that do make it to term are being born pre-polluted, with up to 28 harmful chemicals in their blood, with indicators that over 400 more were present, all without ever eating food, drinking water, or even breathing air. It just doesn't make any sense. Study shows that in 1999, one in 500 kids had autism. Today, it's one in 59. But the effects don't stop there. As of 2013, the increases over the last 45 years show that life-threatening birth defects has increased 100%. Genital deformities in baby boys has increased 122%. Asthma has increased 80%. Leukemia in children has increased 74%. And ADHD has increased 53%. A 20-year independent study was done by the University of Bergen in Norway. This study started closely tracking a population of 6,235 women and men. They tracked the typical use of home cleaners and how they affect lung tissue of those who use them over a long period of time. Over the course of the study, the participants answered questions about their uses of cleaning products and had their lung capacity tested regularly.
So that commercial is about Melaleuca.com, a company I have partnered with for various reasons to not only secure more non-toxic products, but to help my sisters who are widows. I have a couple of women in my life who have lost their husbands. And as I share, they were my one in particular was always borrowing, asking me for money. After her husband died, things got rough. And I was like, okay, I was sending her money every now and then. Even my partner was sending her money because he has a widow's ministry. But she invited me to join Melaleuca. And I was like, I don't really need to join Melaleuca. And I went to a meeting. I listened. I said, well, okay, maybe. I remember a client I had cleaning houses. She had a whole house full of Melaleuca products, and that's all I could use. So I joined Melaleuca, and that widow friend of mine doesn't call me anymore because she's making money from the people who have joined her buying club. I call it our buying club. So because I'm part of her buying club, she's getting a check because she invited people. And I don't get any requests for money from her because she started her own business. So that is one of the other factors influencing the health of our children and us is the amount of toxins in our products. And I understand, Dr. Jerry, in Europe, they don't even have the same ingredients in products in Europe that we have here. So there's something going on in America where we have to deal with even more toxins than other countries. Have you had any notice of that in your experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, growing up in Germany, but again, I was very ignorant when it came to food and environmental health and toxicants. I was just the opposite. And now that you're mentioning Melaleuca, I had heard about that over 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, and somebody approached me also wanting to offer it to me. And that was actually the time I was about to have kids. And I was like very dismissive. Nonsense. I don't need this stuff. I don't know what is that. You know, anything that thing, that the joke is that anything that came about like that, I thought it was unscientific. It's nonsense. I was very mainstream opposite. And in fact, one time, again, 20 years ago, I had a holistic pediatrician come and talk to an event I have. And she was talking about not giving dairy to our kids. I was like, she's crazy. I was thinking that in my head, like, she's crazy. What? Milk? Kids need beverage calcium in there. And I grew up on milk and so on. And in fact, I grew up on milk. My mom would give me my milk in a bottle with sugar until I was 7 years old. So imagine how much she destroyed my microbiome early on and set me up on this path. So there's a lot of things we have to reconsider that we think is normal, which is not normal. You know,
yeah.
And just because it's widespread, everybody's doing it, is not normal.
Right.
And now my whole family has learned to really read every ingredient of everything. So I'm trying, when I have oat milk here, oat milk there, two different brands, I read them. One of them is really bad, if you see what they add in there, you know, to preserve it and to make it tasty. They don't care as long as they sell it. And if you're ignorant about nutrition, you'll just buy the one that tastes best, of course, you know, and that stays longer in the refrigerator. So we have to really become very, very educated when it comes to nutrition, ingredients, what's good for our body, what's bad for our body.
Yes, and my son doesn't read labels because he doesn't want to destroy his desire to eat what's comfortable, what's good. And he's very aware of what I teach, what I do. But he will buy something purely on the front that says this is nutritious, this is high vitamin C. And then I'd read the ingredients like high fructose corn syrup. And
right.
Chemicals galore and more, like 20 ingredients. And I'm like, So
I have to struggle with my son, too. Same thing. He wouldn't listen to me. And then at one point, he had gained some weight.
And how old is he?
He's 22.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, it hit him. He started being much more aware. Now he's worse than me. He's chastising me when I eat something that I'm not supposed to eat. He lost all the weight. Because once you become aware, it's like an awakening. You know, it's like an awakening.
Yeah.
And you can't do it anymore.
And they have to come to that awareness on their own, unfortunately.
Yeah.
When they become adults, it's like no more controlling influence, judging, all that out the window. Let me read some of the comments. I see a lot of comments here. And then I have someone in the Blog Talk studio who with their hand raised that wants to make a comment. So we have a comment from Zelda, who is our Monday morning mindfulness host. She says, Grand Rising, oh, great joint rolling queen. Hey! Enjoying the wake up worship. Thank you, Zelda. We're always good to hear from you. And Naima Latif is our executive producer of the Female Solution. She says, I watched a hip-hop contest between young girls on TV in South Korea. Sound and the moves were definitely hip-hop, but the language was Korean, so I didn't know what they were saying. That's kind of like your story, huh? The sound, you can hear that sound. It sounds hip-hop, but I don't know what the hell they're saying. And then Zelda says, energy and emotions are often what drives us to do the things we do, not realizing how both affect all aspects of our lives. Enjoying the show. Great. So did you have any comments on those quotes or questions or comments?
No, absolutely correct.
Okay, so let's go to the phones. We've got 773-221. Your mic.
Admiral
Nelson Bay is on.
Yes, aloha, Dr. Sherry. I'm of the Baha'i persuasion as well. You know, I'm a medical astrologist at the apex of German New Medicine, and I contend that there is no injection that is harmless to your or my physical and or psychic well-being. And the ideal thing is to not ever be jabbed at all with anything. The only type of person should have a syringe in them is to ozonate their blood, which is what they do in Germany and Austria, just as a routine medical practice. Are you familiar with blood ozonation and its efficacy?
No.
She says no.
That's something that a doctor, Howard Leibovitz, I believe is his last name, he routinely ozonates the blood of people in Hollywood. And I'm going to get my blood ozonated, and that's going to be the only instance in which I'm going to be injected with a needle or a syringe, because in the wake of the plandemic, which was done by design to depopulate unsuspecting individuals, there were individuals who were seen being injected, but I'm going to make it clear that the only time I'm ever going to be injected with a needle is to ozonate my blood by Dr. Howard Leibovitz. And they can videotape that, and I'm not going to be injected with anything at all. Just a matter of O3 oxygen to oxygenate or ozonate my blood. And that's always harmless, and it's always helpful to the patient. But being injected with COVID-19 is insanity to my mind.
All right. Well, thank you, Admiral Nelson Bay. He's also of the Baha'i faith. I think, did he introduce that?
Yeah.
So what do you think about his ozoning the blood? I mean, there's so many therapies out there. What do you think of that one?
I'm not too familiar about this, so I can't really comment on it. But I think there are many, many ways towards health that are being suppressed because they just don't serve the, you know, the sick big business. I do agree that our society is more sick than health-based, and there's so many therapies that are helping us become healthy, but they're being suppressed in the media. So I don't know about that. And the topic of vaccines is also super controversial. So it's basically, usually not to touch it. But I think people should always educate themselves and have their own choice. I mean, for a century now almost something, we are being told over and over and over again from childhood on that vaccines are saving lives and we would all be dead without them. So imagine hearing that globally since you're a child. So there's a lot of turning and not of knowledge to be done to really put it in the right place, you know.
Yes,
that's a topic I try not to go too much into.
Well, yeah, and you get banned on Facebook, YouTube for the last 3 years. Everybody was, don't say the vax, don't say the V word, don't say that, because they would cancel culture and action was everywhere. But there's a woman who's been on my show and even on the Female Solution, Caroline Chang. She's very, very passionate anti-vax because she had two children who died. And she caught, and one had not cerebral palsy, but she had another neurological disease from the jab. And she has a website, Awake to Oneness, Awake to the number 2 Oneness. She put out a report about the Supreme Court and a decision they made several years ago. She quotes this a lot in her writing. She writes a lot. She has YouTube. Supreme Court had a case that said vaccines are inherently unsafe. There was a settlement where the final decision was vaccines are inherently or unavoidably unsafe. So last night when I was talking to this woman, and she's like, what do we do? I said, well, we're going to have a show about that maybe Sunday. What do we do about all these children with autism, blah, 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 and their mothers are feeling pressured to have the vaccine for school, blah, blah, blah. I said, you need to quote the Supreme Court. It's time to get really radical about this. If you don't feel like your children need this, you need to quote the Supreme Court and follow through on that, because Caroline Chang is very informative and educating us about the reality of the lies and the influence we've been under that is killing our children. And so that's just one thing we need to be aware of. I don't know if you've heard of that case, the Supreme Court, where they said vaccines are unavoidably unsafe.
Yeah, I did. Why do you think they became immune from being persecuted? In the 1980s, vaccine manufacturers are immune from being persecuted. So it's that's a major reason also that it exploded in terms of number of vaccines. And the worst part of it is that it's a one-size-fits-all. In nothing, not even food, is a one-size-fits-all. Nothing you can, I mean, we are all different. We have different reactions to everything. One person can smoke for 30 years and be fine. Another one can smoke for a month and get cancer from it. So why would you think that it's different with vaccines? That's why we have to analyze the person first before we give them the injection, especially those that are not necessarily needed or urgent, you know, like the hepatitis C vaccine at birth, where a child doesn't use drugs and doesn't have sex. So please, why would you give that? So it has become a routine thing, and it has become ingrained in society without a second thought. And anybody who asks a question is right away labeled anti-vaccine because it's very effective to do that. Nobody wants to be labeled anti-science, even if they're the best scientists. So it's something that we have to evolve from, you know, to understand health does not come from a needle. It's often necessary for some. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be, but it's our immune system and exposures that we need to fix.
Now, I wrote this down because I said I got to ask Dr. Sherry about this. But this guy, Dr. Bobby Price, I've been listening to him a lot, and he's pretty good. He's teaching a lot of things I already know or familiar with, especially when I've studied German New Medicine. It's like a lot of things people say, it's like, nah, I already know that. He said vitamin B12 was a bacteria. I'm like, what? So a lot of what we do to increase our health, improve our health, is take supplements, okay? So what's your thought about B12 as a bacteria? I had my own thoughts about it when you said it. I said, but have you ever heard anything like that where some of these vitamins are actually bacteria?
Well, technically the bacteria in our gut produce vitamin B. That's more like it. It's not a bacteria, but the bacteria in our gut produce it. And some people who have a bad microbiome, not the optimal ones, have problems producing that vitamin, which is very vital for our health. So that's why sometimes supplementing with methyl B12, whether via injection or orally, is very helpful.
If you can't, but you don't have the gut diversity that will produce it. So what is your feeling about improving the gut diversity? Because, boy, do people struggle with that. I have been teaching about fermented foods and the ways that you have to improve your gut, but there's a big resistance to actually disciplining our behavior, eating especially, to have the goal of improving the gut. So what is your experience with that, and what do you advise on how to do that? Because I think the gut's running the show in this human body.
It's actually not even complicated. You just take out the bad stuff and put in the good stuff, you know.
Hey, that's what I say.
And what we know, which is good for the gut microbiome, is fruits and vegetables, whole grains, healthy fats. Fiber is very, very important, as important as probiotics. So foods that contain lots of probiotics and fiber, and which is fruits and vegetables and fermented foods, that's very good to add into your diet. And what you should take out is highly processed foods, you know, and mostly sugars, simple sugars, high fructose corn syrup, the bad fats, margarine, all the hydrogenated stuff. So it's very simple, actually.
Well, I don't know about you, but most of the people in my life are comfort food eaters. And so it's an addiction, I think, people have to food. We can't really say it's food. If you have understanding of biblical wisdom knowledge, in the book of Genesis, it describes food as having seeds in it. Oh, boy, did I jump on this watermelon I saw at Sprouts that hit seeded watermelon. I'm like, watermelon with seeds. I got so excited like a little kid. I grabbed that thing and took it home. And I said to my son, listen, help yourself to the watermelon. We don't get this very often with seeds. So it's that type of choices that most people are not making. So how do you help assist, guide people who are addicted to chemicals. It's not even food. When, like you say, processed food is the problem. Your fast food places, that's all it is. It's processed food. It takes going back to grandma's behavior and lifestyle to really get food. So what do we do, Dr. Sherry, with all these people who are addicted to chemicals and not real food?
You're absolutely right. And that's actually the hard part, which is not simple. Knowing the thing is very simple, but actually doing it, especially when you're addicted. And that's why I was saying early on, my mom put me on that path already, is because, when I ate so much sugar and milk together until the end, I was already prepping my microbiome to crave this kind of unhealthy food. So that's the thing. Early childhood nutrition is very important for any mother, and it's hard when you as a mother, you're not very health conscious yourself to teach it your child. But if you really want to have a healthy life, you need to make that change. And that change doesn't come easy. It has to start with detoxing. You have to do intermittent fasting, detoxing, getting rid of everything in your home that is either chemically affecting you or in terms of sugar. Sugar is highly addictive. We already know that, That's why people who go on the ketogenic diet, it's much easier to stand with than to go on a low-calorie diet that contains sugar that you cannot handle. But you can go on a high-protein, high-fat diet for a long time and sustain it much better than that. So sugar, for some people, is highly addictive, and those who it is, they need to cut it out and replace it with some substitutes that are not harmful.
Yeah, the sugar, I see candida develops who are addicted to sugar, and they don't understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the reason they're addicted to the sugar, they're feeding the candida. The candida is craving the sugar, so that's what they keep eating, and they don't understand that to stop the cycle, you got to stop the sugar, stop feeding the candida. Tell me what you experience with candida. I had a very bad infection of candida. I had a systemic candida infection about 30 years ago. It's been a long time. And I couldn't even get out of bed. And when I went to a naturopathic doctor like yourself, this guy did a test, said you have candida all in your blood, blah, blah, blah. He said, we're going to put you on a vitamin C IV. And he did that for 45 minutes and no more candida. I went back to work the next day. I had life. And then I still eventually went back to sugar and all that. But that candida still flares up in me occasionally when I have the least amount of sugar. So what's been your experience with candida and
candida can be also rampant in children with autism and also a lot of adults. And it causes several health issues such as foggy brain, tiredness, and the sugar cravings. So definitely it's good to test for candida and get rid of it, because that's what makes you low energy all day, makes you have low concentration capacity and lack of focus. So, and how I do it is, that's the thing, diet. Change the diet, take off all processed foods and sugars. But in addition to supporting supplements that kill the candida, because you need to try to kill it. Whereas when you kill candida, it releases some toxic metabolites in your bloodstream. So for a couple of days, you're going to feel miserable.
Die off, exactly.
You're miserable until it's over. But once it's over, you can be a...
Energy. Yeah, energy comes back. One of my favorite herbs is Pladiarco for candida. In fact, I'm making a tincture right now. I bought some vodka, because that's what they told me to do. And I bought a bulk of the Pladiarco. It's a bark. So I've got it in a jar, and I added vodka. And it's going to be interesting to see. This is my first tincture that I'm making, but I use a lot of Pladiarco to keep that candida at bay, because it seems like, for me, it rises up. That candida rises up at the least bit of sugar that I have, and I'm like feeling achy
it's
joints.
It's like meat. I always say, you know, when you have a grass and there's meat in there, you got to kill that meat on and off. So every periodically, once in a while, going on a detox and fasting and killing off the candida is recommended if you're prone to it.
Now, let's talk a little bit about hormones because I was actually listening to that same doctor, and he was talking about unbalanced hormones are another reason that people have, I think he was talking about weight issues. And I have a friend who's having a hard time gaining weight. And I attribute it to his gut situation, but also hormones could be low testosterone or something. What's been your experience with trying to help people balance their hormones?
Well, it's too general said, what kind of a hormone? So, I mean, is it, it depends also on the condition. For example, one thing could be PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. That causes weight gain, and it's hormones. The imbalance between estrogen and progesterone, estrogen overload or so. So there are many different issues, and I cannot blanketly say something because every individual has a different issue that is connected to weight gain and so on.
What would be your suggestion for increasing estrogen? I know for me, I'm almost 70, so I know I'm low on estrogen, which has caused some symptoms down there. And so what would be your suggestion for in balancing that? What any foods in particular for balancing hormones or reducing, say, the effect of estrogen in many cases? For younger women, it's excessive estrogen, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
But for me, and menopausal, postmenopausal, I wouldn't say we don't have enough estrogen, but we're lower in estrogen. What do you think about that?
It's true, but to be honest, this is not my field of expertise, so I'm not going to comment on that. I would just consult the gynecologist. If you want a holistic gynecologist, they're there too, but that's not the area I focus on.
So what about weight? We have an obesity problem, Dr. Sherry. I'm sure you're aware of it. But what's been your experience with helping people either gain or lose weight? Because that's a big issue these days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, it comes down to cleaning up your environment. I myself have a hard time with losing weight, but I know that how I can maintain not to gain more and more because I am one of those that has that kind of a metabolic system that can cause you to gain weight easier. But for example, works for me doesn't work for somebody else. What works for me is, for example, I can eat a lot of high-fat and protein foods without gaining weight. But as soon as I have simple carbs and sugars, and then some people have sensitivities too. Those who have, for example, gluten sensitivities, you know, they have to take that out. You have to see what foods trigger you because weight gain is also tied to inflammation. And some foods are inflammatory for some people and not so much for others, you know. Some foods are very highly glycemic, they raise their blood sugar very high quickly and give them a crash. So it's again very individual based. But technically, anybody who struggles with weight needs to know their metabolic syndrome, what causes them to be, because it can be hormones, it can be toxic overload. It's all different. That's why I also never judge anybody who's overweight. It's hard to figure that out. And it's not true that, oh, just go on a diet and exercise. It doesn't work. It's not that easy, especially with the foods that we are bombarded with. I mean, anything you take, even you think you take ketchup and there's high fructose corn syrup in there, you know, and then your blood sugar rises and, you know,
I like to say it's not what you're eating, but why you're eating it. because I just comfort eating.
It's both. Yeah. Why you're eating and what you're eating, because it really makes a difference what you're eating.
Absolutely. But so many people in my life are choosing foods for comfort. They don't want to hear that it has no nutrition in it.
That's exactly the thing. Being mindful of what is this food giving me. Okay, if I have a bag of chips, okay, it's pleasurable for my dopamine, but it's giving me nothing in terms of nutrition, okay? But that's what Dr. Hyman always would say, a calorie does not equal another calorie.
Right.
Meaning if I have 100 calories from a cookie, it's not the same 100 calories I have from a banana that has lots of magnesium, potassium, and really nourishes myself.
Yeah, I have a comment here I want you to hear or see. This is from, Lawrence Lenoir. He says, also, Canna Globe offer natural pain relief products and healthy alternatives to assist in recovering health from food designed to keep us sick. And he has a contact number here that you can see. He says it's cannabis products, and he says check the non-natural ingredients in food. So his product deals with pain, which a lot of people, his product treats pain, helps with pain. I think he was on our Monday morning show, and is giving people a lot of relief. Now, what's your thoughts about relieving pain and what he said about health from foods designed to keep us sick? It's like there's so much we could talk about food. Not foods, first of all. If you're eating processed packages, that's food, that's chemicals designed to keep us sick. I think we have to start defining what food is and what processed food, processed chemicals are. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very, very true. Well, cannabis is a really good choice for many health conditions. I mean, I recommend it for a lot of inflammation, anxiety, and a lot of causes. It's very helpful.
Yeah, because we have these receptors in our body that are waiting for the cannabinoids to come in and connect. And it's from the receptors are off when we have inflammation, when we're eating crappy chemical processed stuff.
Yeah.
And we have really, I don't know, I don't want to say, it's really time for us to educate ourselves about the products that companies are making, as he said, that make us sick.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we've been lied to so many times in the marketing
techniques.
I remember when I was a kid, Nutella was marketed as a health food for children.
Oh, my.
And in fact, literally, my mom would ask my pediatrician and say, I'm giving them Nutella for breakfast. And the pediatrician would say, yeah, that's good. There's nothing there. Literally, we were falling for all the marketing. And one of the biggest lies was that sugar is good and fat is bad, which is just the opposite. And actually, fats are so good for you, especially healthy fats like avocado oil or olive oil. They're really good for your brain health, too. I mean, I see myself, I'm using now MCT oil in the morning for my coffee. I just put that in there. I have a complete different day because it helps me with focus so much better.
Yeah, and mushrooms. How about mushrooms? I just watched the Fantastic Fungus documentary with my grandchildren. We've got a routine going now when they're here. They're not here every day, but that at night we watch a nature movie or nature documentary or whatever. And I'm surprised they watched more than half an hour of the Fantastic Fungus movie. Have you seen that on YouTube?
No, I have to watch it.
Oh, my goodness. Because it's so educational about the Wi-Fi network in nature that mushrooms give us when they're growing everywhere, when they're decaying stuff. It's so educational. So they're out of school now, and I've got to really create some more of these type of documentaries for them. But yeah, we're this thing when he talks about food that makes us sick. Hey, let's define food.
Mm-hmm.
Food does not come in a box.
I think we have to always remember that we, even though we have evolved as humans because of our capacity to grow and build a civilization, we forget that we are biologically a part of nature. So we are like a part of this ecosystem of nature, and we're disrupting that. And that's what makes us sick, you know. So we have to always remember we need to be a part of this ecology of life, you know, instead of destroying it.
Absolutely. We're going to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap it all up with some very helpful tips for our audience on taking charge of their health. And we'll come back. Lawrence has some more comments, so we'll get to his comments as well. But we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits?
When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato. Grateful to have Dr. Sherry with me, and wait a minute. Somehow we lost Dr. Sherry. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It went black for a minute. There you are. Give us, before we get to the end of the show, give us contact information. What city are you located in again?
I'm in Florida. Florida, west of Florida.
West of
Miami.
Miami, near Miami. Okay, how can people contact you, get a hold of you if they want to pay for your services? Give us some contact information.
Okay, they can go to naturalhealthpowerworks.com. They can call the number 305-720-9099. Or the Grand Health Institute in Miami. Grand Health Institute in Miami is the office I work in.
Are you at work now, or?
Yeah, I am in work and research both.
Oh, okay. So thank you for taking this time out to share with us. And we have another comment here from Lauren. Thank you, Lauren, for joining us and sharing your information. Check the non-natural ingredients in food. Okay, that's a biggie, because people don't even know what's non-natural in food. There's so many ingredients. Let me see. The app called Yuckhole Food to tell you whether it's good or not and exactly what's in it. That's a great tool to have. Y-U-K-A.
And the worst thing is they change sometimes the name. Like MSG has several different names, and you cannot tell is it MSG or not. So
right. So that's a great tool to have, and they got to keep up with the changes because what's food today might not be food tomorrow. My general rule is if it has more than 3 ingredients in it, it's not food. Because why do you need 3? Even with bread. I like sourdough bread, and I go to Publix for my sourdough bread sometimes, and then I usually go to the health store to get spelt bread, which still has gluten in it. But even the Publix sourdough bread has about 10 ingredients in it, and I have to read it and say, okay, do I want? So I just buy it and just have one slice every 2 or 3 days and enjoy it and keep moving. But then they have this sourdough bread that you can put in the oven, and it's organic, and it's and that has like 3 ingredients in it. I'm like, yeah.
I saw that too.
But you got to bake it, and then you got to cut it, and then, okay, so you got to do more work. So
that's the problem we're having in general. We're too busy nowadays to have healthy food, literally, you know.
To make it from scratch.
Make it from scratch, cook every day, morning, noon, and night.
So the work, but the work that we do is going to pay off in the long run to have energy and to heal your body without having to go to the emergency room and to hospitals and doctors who are going to write prescriptions for you. And that's another issue that so many people are depending on a prescription, even to heal pain when you have cannabis that, that Lawrence has presented that can be used. So we do have choices that can improve our lifestyle. And I think as you and I both wear the gut-brain connection are the most, one of the most important wisdom knowledge that we need today is what, in your analysis, Dr. Sherry, what's going on with the gut-brain connection that has more and more information has come out about that? What is it that you want people to understand about the gut-brain connection that can help them take charge of their health and improve their lifestyle and have better better functioning body parts even?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important. You have to understand what happens in your gut will happen in your brain.
Oh.
They even call the gut the second brain. But more and more, now that research is coming out, they're calling it the first brain. Literally, it's that. And we are underestimating the power of the gut on our brain so much. I mean, most neurological diseases start in the gut, if you think about it, whether or they are connected to the gut, whether it's Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, schizophrenia, autism, depression, anxiety, all of those can be traced down to your gut and microbiota. So one thing that I want to always emphasize for pregnant women, people who want to have kids, really do not underestimate the first 3 years of your child growing up. It's like your ecosystem rearing. You're helping this child for the rest of their life being metabolically healthy or sick, being prone to neurological damage or strength and brain power. So our gut microbiome is very, very strongly connected to our brain. And there's a book we actually wrote. It's called The Gut-Brain Connection, Myth or Reality, written by myself and my husband, Adrian Eshwagi. You can find it on Amazon. It's a lot about the gut-brain connection.
Give me a title again.
It's Gut-Brain Connection, Myth or Reality.
Okay. Now, included in that, I believe, are our emotions, energy and motion. There's even a book called The Emotion Code. There's several books I've read over the years about emotions that really introduced me to the energy that our brain, our thoughts put out that affect the gut. So I'm really always emphasizing the need to have gratitude and joy and forgiveness
mm-hmm.
in every way, because mm-hmm. the energy, the chemicals that we put out about our gratitude and our emotions is very important to our gut, how it affects our gut. And so
it's not only important to our gut, it's important to our whole body, because our body reacts to the way we think. It doesn't distinguish between reality and what we think. So our mind is extremely powerful, and that's how the scientifically proven placebo effect works. So whatever you believe can manifest itself, whether it's in health or in life. So your mindset is extremely important.
Now, I want to ask you about languages, because you speak, you said almost 6 languages. How difficult was that to learn over the years? What was your first language, English?
No, Persian.
Persian was your first language, and then you learned English. What came after?
And then we went to Germany, and then I learned German. And then I learned English in school. And then I learned some French in school, and then in university I learned Spanish. And I'm a big fan of Turkish series, so I've been watching those always. So I learned to understand basic Turkish, conversational Turkish. It wasn't hard for me. I don't know. When you're exposed and living it, it's not. And some people it's harder, some people it wasn't.
Okay, do you think it's the living in it, like you said, it makes it easier to learn that language? Because I'm really, my grandchildren, their mother is Colombian, so they're learning Spanish, of course, and English. But I'm really trying to get them to learn French. And in Central Florida, we got a lot of Brazilians, so Portuguese is definitely a language. I got on the calendar the days of the week in Portuguese, Spanish. So, when you, like you said, living in it, do you think it's easier to travel to these places to learn the language when you do that?
It helps, but still it's very difficult. I mean, I know somebody who's been living in the U.S. for 30 years and still doesn't barely speak English.
Oh.
So it's a combination of motivation and talent. And, of course, it helps when you live in the country, but not everybody. I mean, it's, as you say, also your attitude again. If you really are motivated to do something, you do it. My son is learning Japanese and Chinese because he just wants it. He's like, well,
whatever.
You have to have the motivation. For me, and I feel sometimes the more languages you learn, the next one is easier to learn because you kind of understand the concept, you know.
Okay, well, we got one more caller here, I think. I've opened up the mic, Naima, for 727-731, and if that caller wants to have a comment, last comment, we've got about 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes left before Dr. Sherry and I have to move on. Your mic is open.
Yes, Wayon Yazlon, good morning. This is Minister Plump in Chicago. How you doing, Dr. V and your guest, Dr. Sherry? Can she repeat the telephone number again, please?
305-720-9.
Okay. What's the last four?
9099.
9099.
So did you have a question or comment for Dr. Sherry?
Well, I just wanted to share the fact is, you know, a key word that I heard you all mention today is back, you know, and I love that because back to me means back is bring authentic character knowledge. And I wanted to share that thought because it's yes, we can. We got to go back to the roots because we are products of the food that we eat as well as the mind we keep. And going back, I think about Black Power is back, the Black Code is back, Hollywood in Chicago is back, Black Wall Street on 79th Street is back, and that is going on at the Urban Arts Center here. And the Urban Arts Center presents the Hal Washington Foundation Community Center, and we are located at 644 East 79th Street, Suite 10, and
yeah.
We are in it to
All
win.
Right.
It's our time
right,
now.
Mr. Plum resides in Chicago, so he's a big, big promoter of things in Chicago, which is my hometown. I was born and raised in Chicago, and I lived there till I was 17, went to college in Wisconsin, though, for 4 years, met my husband in Atlanta after that, and we moved to California, and I had two children in California, and my dad was in Chicago for 90 years. And I always had to go back to visit him, but I don't go to Chicago.
Now you know the Baha'i Temple.
Is there a Baha'i Temple in Chicago?
Yeah, oh. One of the only one in the U.S. is there.
Wow, I didn't know that. I went to Israel, and I saw the Baha'i, I think it was the Baha'i Temple in Tel Aviv, or somewhere near.
Haifa.
Yeah, Haifa, in somewhere near Tel Aviv. Oh, in Haifa.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same place they're getting ready to destroy? No, that's a different hot Rafa.
It's the one place for now where they all live in peace and harmony.
Yeah, isn't that something? Rafa is the place that, do you know what the word Rafa means? It means heal, the God who heals. I'm looking for the healing in Rafa one day, but yeah, he mentioned back in black, and I just as a kind of a final note, we got a comment or two. Hip hop. We started off with hip hop and your love for hip hop, and we both agree that hip hop music should continue on and on and on, right? And what do you listen to today in the hip hop genre that helps motivate you or bring peace or whatever? Is there any hip hop music that inspires you? Let's say that.
I still listen to the old school still a lot.
Okay.
I still listen to Coolio, and I listen to Tupac still, and Dr. Dre, all of those. And
do you ever listen?
They don't necessarily lift me up, but somehow they give me happiness.
Okay.
You know, I enjoy listening to them at the gym. They have this kind of a passion in them for life. But, again, we're hoping that the same passion that's in there will be coming with more positive lyrics, I mean, that we can put in there.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I become, as you know, I'm very international. I listen to all kinds of songs, including Turkish music now. I love the Turkish music. And the only music I don't listen to is country.
That's me too. Rarely. But I have a young man who I got to know his family. His name's Jimmy Allen. He's a country singer, but he's pretty good. But you and I both were looking at this scene in Paris where a ballet dancer was dancing with a black guy with dreads. It was the most. I watched that probably 5 to 10 times because I couldn't. The music, the scene, was that the most inspiring, energizing, creative work that we've ever seen?
And that's how I'm influenced. I used to do ballet too. I used to do hip hop dance too. I'm very international influenced. And speaking about healing, music is a huge healer in many, many ways. So my daughter, who could barely have a conversation, was able to sing very beautifully. And so I started a foundation called Melody of Hope, also to give funding for children who they can get music lessons.
Right. We've got another comment here. Let me say, Zelda says, Dr. Sherry, the show was so enlightening. Thank you for inspiring information and new way of looking at health and the hip-hop perspective. Absolutely. I've been really inspired by her. And Lauren says there's a temple in Wilmette. I guess that's the Baha'i. And then great enlightening show. Yes, thank you so much. I'm inspired, number one, to teach my grandchildren more than Spanish. And our executive producer, Naima Latif, has a daughter who spent much time in South Korea. She speaks Korea fluently, and she's traveling all over the world now, probably learning other languages. So
if people can, they should really travel. It's very
opening.
And that's why I call myself world citizen. If you go on my Instagram, it's Sherry World Citizen. That's what we should all be, world citizens.
Absolutely. And this is a global program, and we're going to play our global closing that says goodbye in several languages. So thank you once again, Dr. Sherry, and hope to meet you someday very soon and have a cup of tea. So blessings and much love to you and your family, and we shall meet again.
To our global family joining us from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xie xie. India, 感谢. Japan, 感谢. Korea, Tamsamida, Russia, Batiba, Germany, Dante, Poland, John Cuyon, France, Brazil, Spain, Latvia, Italy, Latvia, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madagascar, Nigeria, Mexico, South Africa, India, Bonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toga, Pakistan, Sutria, Afghanistan, Ashapur, Saudi Arabia, and Palestine, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and bless you, God, and God bless you.
And I always say to my all my yogi friends, namaste and sat nam, ma aloha to all my friends in Hawaii. I know you're going through a real challenge, but love, love, love to all my friends in Hawaii. Aloha. See you all soon. Shalom. Thank you, Dr. Bye-bye. Sherry. Love you.